Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. We praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for making peace in this country. And thank you, Lord, for making peace all over the world. Father, we know that tough times are coming. And I ask and I pray that you would get us all ready. Help us to get ourselves ready to get rid of the flesh, to get rid of everything that has hindered our walk. And Lord, let us understand that it's you who wants to be our best friend. And the way for us to do that is to seek you with all our heart. And we praise you, Father, for placing that in us to put that hunger, spiritual hunger in us, to seek you with all of our heart, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, let tonight, let your wisdom and your discernment be with us tonight as we talk and talk of the things of you. And I praise you and thank you for it, Father. Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? All right. I want to pray. Father, I thank you for your angels that are out there right now that's taking down the deep state, taking down the leadership, the Nazi leadership all over the world. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that the bad guys are going to be taken care of and the good guys are going to take control. And we praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for helping the police in this country to bring down and expose who's financing these riots all over the country. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, it's not going to be near as bad as they're talking about. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. All right, anyone else? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Everybody's prayed up. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for giving David supernatural energy and resting him up, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for David. And anybody else that needs it too. In Jesus' name. Yeah, Ben, go ahead. Amen.
Well, this weekend, Karen's taking me out because the rodeo's in town and it's going to be for my birthday. So I'm wondering if we could all just pray together that I don't get too rowdy out there. I just keep myself focused on what's important and don't let my flesh take over mind at all because
Amen.
I can get a little, I can have a lot of fun at those places. And so, Lord Father God, we know you put us on this earth and there's a lot of fun stuff to do, but Lord, I just want to do all things for you. Lord Father God, we all just want to keep this hunger. Lord Father God, give us the grace to constantly be working for you, thinking about you, and speak of you and work for you, Father, in all things, even the things that you don't think that you could use us in. We thank you, Father, for always guiding us and being with us. We thank you, Father, for it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. You're an awesome God, Lord. That used to be one of my main hobbies, was rodeoing too many years ago, though. Okay, next. Okay. Has anybody got a comment or a testimony? Yeah, Pat.
Actually, I'll pray. Father, thank you for your curtailing these riots and that are planned or proposed for this weekend. Lord, I just ask you to rain on their parade,
Amen.
so to speak. Rain on their attempted riots and rain them out,
Amen.
and do whatever is necessary to curtail and stop these riots in their tracks. Strengthen our police, the police force, the mayors of these cities to rise up and take their authority and take their task at hand, take their responsibility to protect the citizens and protect the stores, and to capture these people and throw them in the jail. We ask also that you would prevent the rain from washing out the parade that President Trump has planned in Washington, D.C., and that it would be a clear day, that you'd ho hold off the rain there. And Lord, we thank you that you are rounding these people up. In one sense, I don't know how to pray specifically, but that you would take advantage of this situation to remove some of these bad actors out in the mix in whatever way that you seem that seems necessary. And just we ask you to give President Trump wisdom through this time. Allow him to take advantage of all the resources that he has available, to be ready to man the necessary troops or support that he needs to protect our federal agents. And Lord, we thank you for it. We know that the one main purpose of government is to curtail evil, to corral evil, and to stand against it, and to support good in the nation. And so we thank you for giving President Trump wisdom to do exactly that. Thank you for your grace. We thank you for the angels that you're putting on board throughout this nation to take these people down, to neutralize their plans, to identify their source of their resources, and to capture those resources, to basically bring them into a place where they have no power to exert their will and their damage and whatever else they want to do. And we thank you, Lord, that greater is he that is in us than they that are in the world. We bind these spirits of anarchy, of Nazism, of communism. We bind them in the name of Jesus. They will not overcome. They will be destroyed, and they will be neutralized. And we thank you for that, Jesus. So we just open our eyes, open our hearts. Lord, give us wisdom to pray in these coming days, to know exactly what you would have us to pray for our specific area. I pray for the city of Philadelphia right now, that you would bring forth, you would marshal the forces in this city, and that you would squelch and put down any rebellion, any destruction, that you would give the business community the wherewithal, the thought, and the wisdom to hire even private security companies if necessary to protect their property. I don't know exactly how that would shake out, but I just trust that you would You will give our community here the wisdom and the wherewithal to protect themselves in this situation. And we thank you for it. We thank you for this blessing, Lord, that you're bringing. We know yet that there is a purpose, an ultimate purpose for all this that's happening right now, whether it be to strengthen us in warfare, or whether it be to provide the environment to take out some of these bad actors, or whatever it would be, Lord, you do not waste even a single iota of your effort and your resources in the things that you're trying to accomplish. So we stand with you. We thank you that you are supporting us, and that we are on the right side here, and that we trust you for bringing this deep state down. We thank you for all the resources necessary that you're bringing to the Trump administration and the white hats in this time to make it happen. So we thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Yep, I believe it. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, for one, Merle goes into the city to meet with the assembly that he goes to. And Alex lives in the city of Pittsburgh. So I'd like to pray concerning that, especially Alex. I mean, last I knew, he's like totally oblivious to news and things that are going on. So, Father, I just ask you to make him aware of things that are going on and that he take it seriously. You put someone in his path that will bring up to him about things that are going on. And I ask, Lord, that you watch over and protect him. And, Lord, that he would even think to say, hey, can I come and stay with you guys until things blow over? And Father, watch over and keep Merle. Lord, I pray that he doesn't even go in to the city this weekend. He went in tonight for a Bible study. And I just thank you and I praise you for watching over him, because you just never know. It doesn't have to be Saturday, as we are seeing that things are breaking out in other places in the country besides LA. So, Lord, I just pray that you use this to get their Merle and Alex's attention, Lord, and that they call out to you to be their savior and look to you to be their defender and their protector, Lord, and keep them safe in their ignorance. In Jesus' name, amen. Give them wisdom that they no longer be ignorant. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? Hey, Barbara and Vanita. Oh, I got to run back to the computer. Go ahead, Ben.
Where's Andrew? Where's Andrew tonight?
Well, I can answer that. He's with my aunt tonight. I don't know if he's gonna be on tonight. He said he was there for dinner and we weren't able to hang out, so I was like, okay, well, go have fun with your sister. He's probably just having a good time with his siblings. I'm sure he'll tell me all about it over the weekend. It's Father's Day weekend, just so all you sons know out
Oh,
there. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. I
That's
also
right. It is
have
this. It is this
it
weekend. Yeah.
is. I also have a prayer request, a bit of well, a testimony as well. I was talking to Karen last night because we usually hang out on Wednesdays, and she was talking about how she's going to be going back to school soon, and how she's very committed to that. She kind of asked me, how I felt about that. And I've brought it up with you guys. And I told her, I said, like, I'm not gonna tell you what to do. Like, I'm not your husband or anything, so I can't really tell you what to do. But I told her, like, I'm not going to school because I want to follow the Lord 100%, and I don't want to miss anything that He has for me. And that's just what I'm doing. And, I'm not saying that you have to do what I'm doing and that you can't work in the Lord going to school or whatever. But, this is something that we need to meditate on and pray on for what we want. And, I had an experience not too long ago about, things. I've mentioned it with Michael before. I had a vision. I guess I can tell you guys about the vision. It's not going to take too long. I know you have your hand up, Missy, so it won't take too long. So I'll have to confess, I was looking at homes for sale up here. There he is. So this home, it was pretty much everything that I was looking for. A nice big garage where I can work on cars, fix a car if it's broken, enough land to have a vegetable garden, a beautiful chicken coop that was already built so I could have chickens, and enough home space for homeschooling. And I was looking at all that, and I was looking at that truck. I think I mentioned it before, and I was gonna go look at that truck on that weekend. And then I got a vision, and it was a very vivid, very graphic. So the vision starts. It's that house. I see that house, that very specific house. And the vision starts with me in a third person perspective, and I'm looking at the house, and there's a giant guy coming out of the front porch of that house, and he's dragging my dad by the hair out of the front door, and he's dragging him all the way to the driveway. And he takes a golf club and starts. He starts beating his head in until my dad's head is off. And it was very vivid. It was very, again, very graphic. And after the deed was done, that giant man sort of went off my peripheral vision. And I pull up in the driveway with that exact same blue Chevy Silverado going up the driveway, and I obviously see my dead father, and I'm going crazy. And then I see Karen drive up in her Nissan Rogue with two kids in the back seat. And so, I stop her and I'm like, go to your parents' house. And I'm like telling her to leave. And she goes, she reverses and she gets out of there, and then that's when the vision ends. And so, with all of this being said, and now that I've given you guys what I'm seeing, that whole option is now off the table. And I told her that. I said, we were talking about having a home, and then you'd stay home with the kids, and we would have a homestead, and then you do. I was like, that's completely off the table because that's what I'm. And Michael agrees. We've all interpreted that that's not an option that the Lord wants me to go through. I would be spiritually dead, as what I agree with Michael. Like, I would spiritually die if I went through that with Karen. And so I'm not saying that I'm going to be breaking up with Karen or anything, or we're never gonna pursue anything, but it's definitely something that her and I need to pray about and really meditate on because, well, I'll be blunt, I don't really want her going to school. I want her to kind of do what I'm doing and really seeking God and really to s seek the Spirit more than just going to church and reading the Bible every once in a while. And I'm talking to myself as well. I get distracted a lot sometimes, but that's what I would want for her, not just to, go become a daycare worker so she can be licensed and then have a daycare at work. That like her own little daycare at home kind of thing, because that's what she wants, so that she can stay home with the kids doing daycare, getting paid at the same time. That's not a bad plan. But anyways, that's her walk, so I'm not gonna make any more comments about it. But just some prayer for guidance for that. That's definitely a big move. And yeah, just the Lord puts it in my heart to make the right decision, because it's a pretty an eye-opening thing that I saw. I wasn't at my dad's last week either, because of how real the vision was. So and then the Lord gave me another week to get over it as well. So anyways,
He
just
looks quite
some,
well.
huh?
I said he looks quite well.
Yes, he looks very good. He got a new shirt, I can tell.
Okay.
So if anyone wants, if Michael, if you could pray for that, that would
Okay.
be
All right. Lord, we just lift up Ben to you, and we thank you, Father, for wisdom and discernment in these things that you're giving him. And we thank you for it, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that his main goal is to please you. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to work in Karen to, if this is going to be a union that you want, Lord, we thank you that you're working in her too in a mighty way. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Father. We praise you, Lord, that he's gonna be fully understanding in what you want with him and the next little bit in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank you, Lord, for filling him with the Holy Spirit. So much so that Lord, he can hear your voice plain and clear. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, that you've made all of us for that reason, is to communicate and to be your best friend. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. I believe it, Ben. Okay, Missy.
Well, I forgot to mention that I got some wings the other day at the grocery store, and I was going to make for Merle and I. And the Lord just put it in my heart to ask Merle to ha ask if Alex wanted to come over Saturday or Sunday. And Alex said, yeah. He texted him, and I said, did he say which day was better? He said, no. I said, well, tell him Sunday, because Sunday's supposed to be better weather for grilling. Well, since then it's a higher chance of rain. So I just thank you, Lord, that I'm not going to have to grill in the rain. And
Amen.
Lord, I just and then and wasn't even thinking about it being Father's Day. So it was just like that was the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so Merle will love having Alex over here on Father's Day, even though it should probably be the other way around. And I guess, I don't know. But anyway, I tease Alex sometimes. Well, you can invite us over and cook for us because he likes to cook. But anyway, so I ask you, Lord, to just facilitate this whole thing with all the craziness that's going on, and that maybe even, who knows, Alex, like I said, would even decide to come and stay for a while until things blow over. And thank you, Lord, for however you're working it all out. And I just pray for a great visit with Alex, and that he'll stay longer than normal. And that we'll all just have a good time together, Lord, and you working in all of our hearts and bonding us together, Lord, in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Working it out. Lord, I thank you for translating all my kids out here Sunday. Ooh, that'd be awesome. Okay, go ahead, Andrew.
Okay, I just got back from a family gathering, and unfortunately, it didn't go too well. I started talking about the Lord, and of course, it was at my sister's, my brother-in-law and sister, and she's the one who sent the seven letters to me. During COVID. And it didn't go too well because they thought I was judging them when I was just trying to share with them. And there was a lot of confusion there and a lot of he was angry with me. He lost his temper. I didn't talk a lot, you know. But I knew it kind of upsets a person who's trying to be cordial after. I'm not apologizing for what I believe. I'm just trying to be cordial, you know, trying to get along. And everything was put into an upheaval again. And we did manage to hug brother-in-law and me. So we gave each other a hug. I said, "Is this going to be awkward or what, Jim?" And you know, he is a Mason, and he's pretty high up in the Masons, and he does read the Bible, but he doesn't think it's the Word of God, and he does believe in virtues and stuff like that. But anyways, you know. I'm all turned inside because of feelings and stuff, and I'm trying to get rid of them. So I need some help to help me pray this thing down so that I get back to settled with the Lord and not have this disturb me too much. And so I don't think that there'll be probably any more contact with them for a while anyway. And of course, they'll probably try to get back together with me and have me come over and stuff. And I don't look forward to going over there because you know, she was saying things like, "Well, you know, we really shouldn't discuss religion, politics, and money." You know, and I go, "Well, when we came in here, you were discussing religion. You know, you even said a prayer. You know, and I thought I was open to say anything about this because you're praying, and it was a wonderful prayer, very old Catholic prayer of some sort. And what they said was actually really good. You know." And anyway, I'm just all in topsy-turvy being with all these different people, which is family. It was all family, my brothers and sisters and their spouses. And you know, they're all older than me, you know, but they just were offended at me. And he let me know that he lost his temper. He used some pretty foul words too, and they started discussing this stuff that was supposed to be taboo anyway. So I just need some prayer to
Amen.
overcome this.
In the name of Jesus, right now, we just come against this depressive feeling, oppressive feeling, in Jesus' name. Feelings of sadness, And we command it to go. Lord, you are the king. You can move these mountains of misguided fault finding in his family. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, that they are going to come into the love of Christ in a way that's going to astound Andrew and Ben. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord. We have to look forward to the household salvation that you've given us. And I thank you, Father, that Andrew's going to see a change. And it's all going to be worth it because of his prayers. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Andrew, we all go through
Glory be
that.
to God.
We all go through it with our
Yeah, it's just,
families.
and this is why it took me so long to come on today. And I was hesitating to come on and trying to find comfort in some things. And anyway,
We love
glory to
you.
God, praise and glory.
Glory to God. We love
Glory
you,
to God.
brother.
Oh yeah.
All right, Pat, go ahead.
So, first of all, thank you, Lord, for that you took the anxiety, you took you took our lack of peace and all of the pain of these disgruntled relationships, the offenses. You took all of those on yourself, and you took them to the cross and nailed them there. And we thank you, Lord. We know that obviously we are in a spiritual battle, and that many times those offenses rise up within our own families. Or that some of the things that we believe or say can be taken wrong. But we thank you, Lord, that you are our Savior, our God of grace, that gives us and leads us and guides us and protects us in these things. And again, we trust you for household salvation for Andrew's situation as well as our own. So we just praise you for your work in us. And we just continue to say, continue on, Lord. We walk with you through this process. And thank you, Lord, for bringing your spirit up in us and taking down that old man even within us, the necessary dismantling and crucifixion that needs to happen within us in order to allow your life to freely be expressed through us. So we thank you for this plan that you have brought us into, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. One of the thoughts I had related to Ben's dream or vision there was Andrew represented the father of faith, I guess you might say. And that's what I saw, that big man was beating the life out of that father of faith, you know. So I agree with everybody's kind of interpretation and of that that vision. But we too have asked Charlie, our son, to come up and stay with us through the weekend. We're outside of Philadelphia. He lives in Philadelphia, works there. We asked him, he'd probably be better if he come up and stayed with us through the weekend at least. So anyway, We just trust the Lord that He's going to accomplish all that's necessary to preserve and protect life, and to bring about a removal and a dismantling of this deep state. And we thank you for it, Jesus. I was thinking today about the note that Michael sent out. Was that that note from John G. Lake? Actually, I'm gonna kind of do a little confession here, if you don't mind. I'm looking for it now because it, I guess I didn't. You know what? I need it. I wanted to pull it up. So I'll come go out and let Julie come in, and I'll come back in a little later. All right.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Go ahead, Julie.
Okay, thanks, Paul. I just want to pray too about the few things that are coming to my mind from Andrew and Ben. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for you understand everything about us. You know all of our days even before they exist, and you know the trials and the decisions and everything that we all have to make, and the persecutions and the suffering we go through in our life to lose our life in this world. Father, I pray that you would give grace to Karen, that and Ben, or that you would put your will in their hearts for what you want for them. I pray for unity of the spirit with both of them, Lord, and that they would just both be seeking you. I thank you, Lord, that Ben's able to talk to Karen openly about these things and share that they're open sh in sharing these things, is being specific and wanting your will. And you work all things after the counsel of your will and for your good pleasure. So I thank you, Lord, for doing more than we can ask or think. I pray you put peace in Ben's heart, that there's no hurry for all these things. We know that once the tribulation starts, which is soon, is very soon, we have 7 years before all of this is over. And the things of this world, you know, God, you're just going to put a new desire in everybody's heart. We're going to be so full of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and wanting to walk in all of your ways. The things of this world, the desires of this world are just not going to be important anymore. And as far as families go, I believe that's still going to happen. And so Lord, just help them to be patient with each other, patient with themselves, and to seek you and what your plan is for that. And I thank you, Lord, for what Andrew suffered today in his and the trials and the persecution of the family, and that he just kind of remember that these are spirits. It's really not our family members who were doing this. It's the spirits that are in them, and they don't understand. And that there's if they can just if we help us to remember that we need to separate them from the spirits that are manifesting their thoughts. They just don't know what we know. And Lord, it says in 2 Corinthians, I'm just going to read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any affliction through the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound unto us, even so our comfort also abound through Christ. So Lord, you see the afflictions, you see the hurt and being rejected and not accepted, and it's because of Christ in us, and it's nothing that they've done or we've done. It's just the spiritual realm that's operating there, Lord. So I pray that you just lift Ben, I'm sorry, lift up Andrew and encourage him and comfort him. And we're supposed to count all joy when people separate themselves from us because they just don't have ears to hear yet. But we believe in household salvation, Lord, and that you're going to change hearts, that you're already working. And I thank you, Lord, that your timing is always perfect. And we go through these things, Lord, and it's just, we share in your comfort because we share in your afflictions, Lord. So thank you, Lord, for doing that for Andrew and working and doing more than we can ask or think. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that everything she prayed comes to pass. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Missy.
I just wanted to say, Andrew, I know how it feels. I've had family just jump all over me different times, different members. And I know it's hard to take. Not too long ago, I had someone accuse me for something, accuse me of having ulterior motives for doing something. And the enemy tries to come in and jump on you and, say that what that person was saying was the truth and condemnation and everything. And, you just got to cast it down. And when I was, thinking on all this and what popped into my head is, was persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And I think for theirs is the kingdom of God or something. It's in Matthew there 5, I believe. But anyway, I know how it feels. And it's happened to me enough now that especially in a certain area, I guess I could say, that I've just kind of become numb to it. And if you're not around your family that much, and then you have them jump all over you, that's harder to take. So I don't know. Sometimes I know I can have a tendency to not want to be around certain ones because knowing that they don't see eye to eye with me on whatever, but I just have to be led of the Lord, when and where and stuff like that, and not be concerned about that because we are going to be persecuted, and lots of times it's our family that's our biggest persecutors, and not just that, but also other so-called brethren, So I just wanted to say I know how it feels and don't take it too hard. What I just thank you, Lord, that you're going to help Andrew get over this quickly and not be skittish about seeing his family because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. But just be led of you, Lord, when and where and whatever, whoever. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yep, we all go through it. Best thing to do, from experience, best thing to do is bind them up before you go there. Okay, Pat, go ahead.
So I went back and was rereading that that message or that I guess paragraph that Michael sent out. And a couple things popped out at me when I list read it again, and I'm just going to read it real quick if I could. Said, Christians are stumbling over this every day. You are doubting and fearing and wondering if Christ is there. Beloved brother and sister, give him a chance to reveal himself. He is there. Probably because of your lack of realization, your soul is closed. And he is not able to reveal himself. You know, God is never able to reveal himself outside of the spirit or soul. The real secret of the ministry of healing is in permitting the grace of God in your heart to flow out through your hands and your nerves into the other life. That other life, I think he's referring to, obviously, is the soul, body, manifestation of life that, you know, others see. That is the real secret. And one of the greatest works God has to perform is to subject our flesh to God. Many Christians, and the deepest Christians who really know God in their spirit and enjoy communion with Him, are compelled to wait until a process of spiritualization takes place in them before God can reveal Himself through them. Do not imprison Christ in you. Let him live. Let him manifest himself. Let him find vent through you. John Lake. This reminded me of, because, and I will, I'll have to say that in terms of healing, realizing the healing that God has provided us through the stripes of Jesus 2,000 years ago, that it is a done deal. It's not a question of whether or not God will heal. It's a question. It's a done fact that he already said he has given and provided our bodily healing, and he gave it then. So, you know, without getting into, you know, whole thing to develop that. One of the things that I noticed myself in that same waiting mode, before I, let's just say, ministered or prayed for others, one of the things that I've learned here in the last couple months is that nowhere in the Bible, in the New Testament, at least that I can't, that comes to mind, nowhere is there an example of the apostles or the or Jesus, for that matter, praying and asking God to heal anybody. The example is they command that healing in the authority of the name of Jesus. Peter said the very first healing after Christ's resurrection, when Peter, I think it's Peter and John, or maybe Peter and James, were going into the temple, and the man, the lame man, was there at the gate of the temple, you know, asking for alms or whatever. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I do have, I give thee, rise up and walk. And he reached down and grabbed his hand, and of course the guy was healed. He didn't pray and ask God to heal him. He simply commanded what he had been taught to do, commanded that healing. So there's an aspect of moving into that authority or taking that position of faith instead of praying and asking God to heal is to simply command it done. So that's a transition for, I'm going to say, for me. And the thing I and so I one of the things that I recognized in me was this waiting, because there's a few things that I am I'm trusting God has healed and will manifest that shortly in his timing, and I'm ready for it to happen now. One is my eyes, one is my hearing. I want my hearing to be restored absolutely perfect. And my teeth as well to be restored as original. I'm believing God to heal these all the way, not just take an aching tooth and remove the pain, but to heal every one of my teeth back to its original. My feet and my toes. And so there's some things that I am trusting God, that I've trusted God and believes that he has healed me in these things, yet they haven't manifested yet. And there's been a battle back and forth in certain things, pain, putting down pain and putting down, various different battles that have taken place. But the thing that I recognized was that there was a waiting in me, waiting for these things to manifest, so to speak, in order to, I guess, in order to prove that they are true, that they are, that, God is real and God heals. And I'll just read what I recognize this same waiting in me. I had the question, can I lay hands on the sick and minister God's healing if I have not yet manifested his healing in my own body? The question seems to reflect the waiting described above in John Lake's statement. And the answer follows: release him from within. The apparent condition of my flesh or my example, I'm going to say that again, the apparent condition of my flesh or my example, whether it be positive or negative, does not change the truth of God's word, that by his stripes we were healed. There is, and this that I'm talking about now, this apparent, this waiting, this there's a sense that I know that the Lord gave me this verse, and I'm going to say 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when I was in the Baptist church. He brought this out to me at that time, and I didn't know exactly how to respond or how to deal with it. but it's in Matthew chapter 5. And he said, I'm just going to read kind of the two, three verses around it. Said, you are the salt of the earth. This is Matthew 5:13. But if the salt, excuse me, has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to cast out and trodden under foot of men. And then he says, ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Which I have to say is a natural thing. If there's a city out there, at night, and everybody has their lights on, you can't hide that city. It's you look out there, you can see that city even a long ways off. Neither do men put light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on the stand, and it shines unto all that are in the house. If you were to take a lamp and light that lamp, to then put it under a bushel and hide it is a very unnatural thing. You have to go through a certain amount of planning and work in order to hide that light. It's a very unnatural response to the light being within you. So he says, even so, verse 16, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Even so, let your light shine. That tells me that letting it shine is a natural, simple release of the light, release and let it shine. In order to not do that, you have to go through some sort of willful restraint to hold that light in, to cover that light, to not let it out. And so there was, I know in me, that tendency. So I'm just going to read what I wrote about that. Your light was meant to give light to others in order to glorify or reveal the existence of God to them. If you allow yourself to modify or cover your own light because of the reactions, responses, or lack thereof coming from others, then you have allowed yourself, in a sense, to be controlled by those around you. If you let your own apparent lack dictate allowing your light to shine, you have allowed your weaknesses to do the same, to restrict that light. You are in an invisible prison surrounded by imaginary bars of how you perceive that others might react to what you say. My apparent lack of healing does not negate the truth of God's healing through the sacrifice of Jesus. My apparent lack does not negate my requirement of obedience to the Lord's word to let that light shine. There's that verse in Romans 3:4. And I'm going to read verse 3 before that, because it seems to apply here. For what if some were without faith? Shall their want of faith make of none effect the faithfulness of God? In other words, will just because somebody doesn't have faith, doesn't believe, that doesn't change the truthfulness or the reality of God's truth, of His word? Then he says, God forbid. Yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, so that you might be justified in your words and might prevail when you come into judgment. So I guess what this restraint in, I'm going to say, inner restraint that I have recognized and seen within myself. Number one, I cast it down right now, confess it as sin, confess it as flesh, and purpose in my heart right now to let whatever light that the Lord gives me to shine forth in whatever circumstance He brings me into from this time forward, regardless of what I feel about my own personal ability or personal standing or personal righteousness or whatever you want to call it. I'm no longer going to allow that to dictate whether my light shines and that light that I have been given in one form or another. This puts me in a doing mode, not just hearing, not just studying, not just hearing the word, but to purpose in my heart to put it into action as soon as I possibly can. In whatever form that means, I'm not, I'm open to the Lord to lead me in whatever situation and give me the wisdom in order to recognize it and apply His word at whatever at the proper time, at whatever however it needs to happen. But the transition I am making is to move from a simple study, absorbing, taking the word in, to giving it out, to applying it, applying that particular truth and walking it out and exercising that truth in whatever way I can. I've recognized, I mean, I have to say, I've recognized this tendency. And maybe it was, because of a lot of the things, maybe that Andrew was talking about. There's a certain amount of rejection that comes about when you speak or you do things for the Lord, or you speak out in certain ways. It's obviously not accepted everywhere. So There's a certain amount of wisdom that you have to take and to be able to, pick the proper timings, and there is a truth that no man can receive anything unless it come from above. And so there are, there is are a lot of people that are you kind of, in a sense, have to size them up to see where they're at, to see what they're going to receive, what you think they're going to receive, right, or anyway, so you don't totally blow them out of the saddle. So there's a certain sense of wisdom that I have to trust the Lord to mesh together to give me at that time, but at the same time also be bold to let that light shine, and don't hold back wherever I see it as a necessity. So anyway, I'm starting to ramble now, but I just wanted to kind of share what the Lord has been doing with me in the last few days, and in my own personal confession, and my purpose and heart to move more into a active role as opposed to a passive. There is the problem in our modern day Christianity, I guess you might say, which the majority, which we've all come out of, is that tendency to take a spectator role, sitting in a pew, listening to, absorbing the word of God, and letting somebody else do the teaching and this and that and whatever, and then go do your thing and live life, being a responsible Christian, and then come back in, on Sunday every week to do the same thing, and you find yourself relegated to a role of listener instead of doer. And it is, I believe, it is the doing, and I should have pulled more scripture out today as I was reading through this, but there's so many scriptures that basically said, God says that the wise man builds his is the man that hears and does. He's the man that builds his house on a sure foundation by hearing and doing that word, applying that truth, which I believe is the very force necessary to bring it out of our spirit that John was talking about in his statement, to bring it out of our spirit through our soul and through our body in that work necessary to see it happen and to experience the truth and reality that through of that, not only in spirit, not only in soul, but in body as well. So anyway, this is kind of what the Lord's showing me. I'm going to shut up and let everybody else speak.
Well, that's good. Go ahead, Missy.
Pat, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to yesterday's Bible study, but that was really good on healing and all. And just in case you didn't, I just wanted to bring that up. So. That was really encouraging to me. There were a couple of, really really, really good points that David made. And that was a just reminder and helped me concerning all that faith, believing which that I am healed. I was healed by his stripes. You were healed. So anyway, just wanted to say that.
Hey, yep, that's the thought
I'll
that my
go back and
mind.
listen to it. I usually listen to that on the podcast, but it wasn't uploaded this morning when I left. But yeah, it was I'll hear it tomorrow.
Judith.
I was just going to say, Michael's teaching on healing yesterday was really good too. So between David's teaching and Michael's, it went really well. And also David's teaching he did on, I think it was Sunday, on redemption. So praise God.
Okay, Andrews.
Well, all I have to say is, when Pat was speaking, a lot of things ministered to me about what just happened to me today. Anyway, so I give glory to God for it anyway. So, and you get other thoughts pop in your head when people are talking to you about your own personal things too. So it actually helps to hear because God's here with us all right now, and He's ministering to us all through this fellowship. Thank you, Lord. All glory and honor unto you, Father God. Amen.
Well, let me make you feel better, Andrew. Today I went walking. Great day. Great day for walking. And I got about halfway through it, and a big cloud formed up over there in the east. And I said, nope, not going to receive that. So when I was about a mile away from the truck, it unloaded on me. And by the time that I got back to the truck, I could have rode in the back and I couldn't have been any drier. Anyway, I got soaked. That's the second time in the last 15 years that I've gotten rained on. But I kept rebuking it. I said, no, nope, you're gonna go, you're gonna go. And the Lord decided to allow me to have a good testimony tonight. Yeah, it was cold too. But anyway, we made it through it. Praise God. Blue jeans are in the dryer. All right. Yeah. Let's see. I forget which one of y'all were going to play that thing. Yeah, go ahead, Pat. Okay. You was going to play two things, the song.
I don't know if this has anything.
No, go ahead, Pat.
I don't know if this has anything to do with it. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm asking you the same thing.
Michael
Yes.
does not have a delay in Jesus' name. He has
No.
a strong internet bandwidth in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Angels clear up that heavy traffic.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I was just going to say, Michael, I was listening to a song on the way to work today. It was Let It Rain.
Oh God.
So I'm really sorry
You're the
if I
cause of it.
messed up your
Okay.
day there.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Missy.
I've got rained on. I'm riding my bike and I start singing, let it rain, let it pour. Lord, I need you more and more. Let it rain down on me.
I just did a
Every
little
day,
murmuring.
whatever you want, not my will, but yours, Lord. Let it rain down on me.
That's a good one. Yeah, I
Love
should have
that
done
song.
that.
Is that what you were listening
No,
to,
I
Pat?
was so.
No?
Okay, Jimmy
Michael
Scott.
Smith was "Let It Rain." That's
Michael
and that's the
Smith,
only
yeah.
words of the song. They just repeat that over, but it's really good. So.
Okay.
Pat, is that the one? Let it rain, open the floodgates of heaven, right? I think that line,
Yep.
and that's
That's the
all of it,
one.
yeah.
Yeah,
Over and over.
it's an old one, but it's good.
Beautiful. It's beautiful to sing with and
Yeah.
harmonize and stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Man, it's all your fault, Mike or Patrick, that it rained on Michael today. You got
Well,
a good taste of the latter rain.
yes, I did. Well, I thought no, the. go ahead, Julie, and play that prophetic word, and then we'll play that
Okay, yeah, I'll play the prophetic word and
song.
we can then we can play a song later if you want, but
Yeah.
this is a prophetic word that Dr. Patricia Green put out. I think it was yesterday. So I'm going to play that.
Be sure and hit your audio button thing.
The video I am posting today, I received this message from the Lord on June 8th of 2025, and I am posting this message on June 11th of 2025. So on the morning of June 8th of 2025, I was in worship and in prayer, and I asked the Lord, Lord, do you have a message for your people right now? And I heard very clearly the Holy Spirit say, go to Jeremiah chapter 37. So I opened my Bible and I turned to Jeremiah chapter 37 and I began to read. And when I came to this verse, I knew that the Lord had a message. And in Jeremiah 37, 17, it says this: the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. And as soon as I read that scripture, the Lord said, here is the word. So I'm going to read it to you as I received this. Now, I want to let you know that when I received this message on Sunday, June 8th, I had no idea that these riots were already starting in LA. So I want to qualify that because I received this before I even knew about, or maybe even before those riots began, because this was in the early morning. The Lord said this: soon there will be turmoil and tumult. This is designed to be a cover for what is really happening. What is really happening, you ask? The Lord said this: the world financial system is ready to change and move to the new system. The old system has been holding on by a thread, and I am cutting that thread, says the Lord. Markets will plummet, and that is by design. The markets, NASDAQ, and the New York Stock Exchange has been controlled and manipulated by the global elites to benefit themselves. That control is coming to an end, says the Lord. Their cash cow is being killed and ground into burger, says the Lord. I love the Lord's sense of humor in that. The Lord said, there will be this will be a great thing for the average American that the global elite's control over their money is coming to a quick end. So do not listen to the false media who will claim that a great depression is upon us. They lie, says the Lord. They spin the tales of what they have been instructed to spew forth. My children, Just know that when the markets fail, this is a good thing, for your financial redemption is on the doorstep, says the Lord. Get ready to leave Egypt with wealth and possessions. This wealth will fund my great end time harvest of souls for my kingdom, says the Lord. Also, I want to remind my children of the sequence of the Israelites leaving the bondage of Egypt. First, they plundered the Egyptians by asking and receiving their wealth. And we see that in Exodus 12, verses 35 and 36. Now, the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus, they plundered the Egyptians. And then the Lord said, next, they saw their first sign and wonder by the parting of the Red Sea. And the Lord said, this same sequence will happen again for my children. First, the transfer of wealth to my people. And second, we will see signs, wonders, and miracles with the preaching of the gospel. The Lord said, so get ready, my children, first for the wealth and then the signs, wonders, and miracles. I have planned it all, says the Lord, and nothing or no one can stop this great plan of mine. No person can stop it, no demon can stop it, and Satan cannot stop it, says the Lord. The Lord says this, lay the foundation, set the stones, for I am building my house, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, says the Lord. We see that in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The Lord said, this is the climax, the grand finale of my great plans. I am positioning my people, commissioning my people, elevating my people, preparing my people, anointing my people, and sending my people into the fields that are ripe for harvest. In John 4:35, it says, do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. The Lord said, I am sending my people into the fields that are ripe for harvest, where the wheat will be bundled and the tares will be burnt up. We see that in Matthew 13, 30. At the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The Lord said, time is running out for the tares. Repent, I say, repent, for with true repentance and genuine belief and faith in my Son, Jesus Christ, a tare can be redeemed and saved from the fire of hell. Choose this day whom you will serve. Choose life and not death. Choose light and not darkness. Choose holiness and not sin, says the Lord. There is only one who can make you holy and wash away your sin, and that one is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, says the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Lord our God, somebody ought to be getting up and shouting, for goodness sake. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. We praise you, Father. I believe it. That goes right along with what we already knew. Thank you for confirmation, Lord. Praise God.
Amen. That's awesome. That was an awesome
Yeah, it
conference.
is. It is an awesome word. Thank you, Father. Send that link to me, please.
Yes, I will. I'll
And
do
I'll
that.
send it over to David.
Well, Kathleen sent it to you this morning, but I'll send
Oh,
it to
okay.
you and check your
Oh, okay.
email.
She oh, so she sent it to David also. Okay, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right. She
Okay.
did that. That's fine.
I figured you guys had already watched it, but you obviously have been
No.
busy.
No.
Okay.
We see, we get a bunch of those kind of things, and we ain't got time to go through them.
Can't see them all.
Okay. Is anybody
So do you want,
happy?
oh, this is awesome. Do you want me to play the song next, or do you want me to play that Jeff Foxworthy thing? Because that
Play a
was really
song.
good. Okay. Y'all be singing now.
All right. Yeah, we're gonna
This
praise the
song
Lord.
is for this song is for us all. Praise God.
Amen.
For me and my house, we're gonna serve you. For me and my house, you'll get the praise. For me and my house, we're gonna love you always. For me and my house, we're gonna worship. For me and my house, you'll get your way. For me and my house, we're gonna love you always. We have set our homes apart for
be to God. Why don't you just go on into that foxhole?
I speak to the enemy. You can't have my family because we belong to the Lord. With heaven's authority, take back our destiny because we belong. Come on, I'm singing this over your families tonight. I speak to the enemy. You can't have my family because we belong to the Lord. With heaven's authority, we take back our destiny because we belong. Come on, sing it again. Hey! I speak to the enemy. You can't have my family because we belong to the Lord. With heaven's authority,
I just love old Michael Farron.
I was out in public. We were at some kind of film festival. I had all my girls with me, and as always, when you have girls, they have to pee a lot, and so. And they all win at the same time. I don't know why they all go together. I think they have a seesaw or something in there that requires more than one person, you know. So I'm standing out in the lobby waiting on them, and I notice a table from the Atlanta Mission. And so to kill time, I walk over and look at one of their brochures, and it's a homeless shelter in Atlanta. And I realized in reading it, oh, it's a faith-based place. And the guy was sitting there, and he said, you need to come down and have lunch with me sometime. And I wrote his phone number down on it. And I'm like, yeah, well, I might. But I'd spent my life doing fundraising for kids with cancer and all. Never done anything with homeless people. And in fact, this is the way I dealt with homeless people. When they came up to the window, I would reach and go, do I have $5? So they would go away. If I'm going to be honest with you, that's what I did. So he invited me down. And I asked him the first day, I said, why do you really want me here? I figured he wanted me to do a free concert or something and raise money for them or to do their commercials on the radio or TV. And he said, no, I just wanted you to come down and meet some of the guys. Well, the first guy that sat down at our table was this 21-year-old kid named Jason. And I love knowing people's stories. That's where comedy comes from to me, is real life. And I said, Jason, what's your story? I said, you're 21. Why are you in a homeless shelter? And Jason said to me, well, he said, it was me, my brother, my mom, and my dad. And when I was 11 years old, my mom killed herself. He said, 2 years after that, my brother killed himself. And it was me and my dad, and my second year of college, my dad killed himself. And he said, I got to the point where I couldn't hurt anymore, and I started smoking crack. Flunked out of school, and that's how I'm on the street. And y'all, as I'm sitting there looking at this kid, I'm thinking, crap, I would have started smoking crack too. How much hurt can a human heart take? And I found from getting to know these guys, that was almost always the case, that the addiction, whatever it was, alcohol or drugs, that was a symptom. The cause was some kind of hurt they couldn't get over. I mean, so many of these people had been sexually violated or physically violated, and they just had a hurt they couldn't get past. And so a couple of weeks later, Joshua, the guy that invited me down, he said, you keep asking why I invited you down, I'm going to tell you. He said, I want you to lead a small group. These guys have never had a small group in their life, and I think you'd be a great leader for it. And I said, Joshua, there's 6 million people in Atlanta. You can't find a better person than me to do this. And y'all, this is the only thing we can do for God. This is the only thing we can do for God. It's when he whispers to us to say yes. That's how humbling it is. The only thing we can do is when he whispers. And God doesn't yell. I was reading a verse the other day, said there was a great earthquake, and then there was a great fire, and then there was a still, quiet voice. That's God. That's the still, quiet voice. God doesn't yell. That's why he tells you, be still and know. When I think about the Holy Spirit, I had somebody describe the Holy Spirit to me one time. Is the Holy Spirit's kind of timid and doesn't say a whole lot? The Holy Spirit just always points to Jesus. It's like, so when the Spirit's talking to you about something, he's like, that's what he does to me. And so I said yes. I had no training. I'd been in a small group for years, but these are homeless guys. And I will tell you this about homeless people. Once you start learning their stories and they become somebody's son and somebody's brother and somebody's dad, the way you look at them totally changes. So I started leading this group, and a tip of the hat to Chick-fil-A. I had to buy chicken biscuits just to get them to come. They wouldn't come unless I had chicken biscuits. So I had 12 guys, started with me and 12 guys. And they didn't really participate. They didn't talk a lot. So I was trying to think of questions for them. And one of my early questions I said to them, I said, what is the Bible? And one of the guys said, it's just a book of rules. And I'm thinking, no, it's the greatest love story that's ever been written. So he said, it's a book of rules. And my buddy that was sitting there with me, he goes, really? He said, it's a book of rules. And he picked up his Bible, and there was a trash can there, and he dropped it in there. He said, if it's a book of rules, would that bother you? And one of the guys, the guy in the class that I was scared to death of, big, huge guy named Wayne, got up, walked over, and he pulled that thing out of the trash can, and he wiped it off. And he said, don't ever do that again. I said, well, Wayne, if it's a book of rules, why does that bother you so much? And Wayne said, let me tell you a story. He said, when my mother died, he said, I inherited $70,000 from an insurance policy. He said, I'd never had money in my life. He said, and I lost my mind. He said, we started buying crack. I got two girlfriends, and we started partying all day long. He said, and when you're partying like that, you don't go to work. So I got fired about a week later. He said, but we didn't care. We had money and we were partying. He said, 2 months later, I got evicted out of my apartment. He said, so I had my stuff in some suitcases and backpacks. He said, and we just moved to cheap hotels and we're partying day and night. He said, but as we're moving around, I'm losing my stuff piece by piece. And he said, the only thing that I had from my mother was a Bible that she gave me when I was a little kid. And on the front page, on the inside, she had written this love letter to me telling me about how Jesus was the answer. He said, and as we're bouncing around, I realize I've lost the backpack that had that Bible in it. He said, this goes on for a few more months, and then the money runs out. He said, next day, the two girlfriends leave. And now I don't have an apartment. I don't have a job. I've got a crack habit. And I'm on the street. He said, I'm on the street for a year and a half, living on the street, begging people for money, still got my crack habit. He said, and this guy came by one day and he picked two of us, said he needed help with a project. Wayne being a big, strong guy, he picked Wayne and another guy, and he took them to a place about 100 miles away where this guy had bought an old apartment building, two-story apartment building. He was cleaning it out. He was going to refurbish it and rent the apartments. So Wayne said, I started on the bottom. My buddy started on the top. He said, I got all my stuff cleaned up, bagged up, and put it in the dumpster. He said, and I went upstairs to help my buddy, and he was down to the last room. He said, but out in the hall, he had a pile of stuff in the corner. I'm like, dude, you want me to bag that stuff up? And the guy said, well, those are things I found that might be worth something if you want to look through it before we bag it up. And Wayne said he went over there and started looking through the stuff, and he reaches down in the dust and the dirt, and he pulls a book out and he opens it up, and there's the love letter from his mom. It's his Bible. A year later, year and a half later, and 100 miles away. And he said, I collapsed to the floor and started sobbing. If you put that in a Hollywood movie, nobody would believe it. And he said, I figured if God was going to chase me that hard, I would finally quit running. But y'all, that's the God we serve. That's how much he loves us. And I just want to encourage y'all to be bold for people.
Wonderful testimony. Wonderful testimony. Glory to God. Lord, do that for all the ones that are out there as homeless. And bring them in, Lord. Bring them back. All, like he said, a lot of them been hurt. Yeah, Missy.
Not just the homeless, but I mean, basically, he was a prodigal son. All the prodigals that have, you know, gotten away from the Lord, Lord, bring them back, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, let them know that you really do love them. That you're chasing them down. You know, you're not letting them go. Thank you, Lord, for doing it.
Yeah, he finds the ones that are been humbled. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Hey, Debbie, y'all going to do that song? Add that song to the list. That Michael Farron song we just got through listening to.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
That's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, and it's an old one. It's one that we all know. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's simple. Okay, anybody else got something? Yeah, Julie.
I was just thinking, I saw a lot of people that are homeless, you know, downtown San Diego and stuff, and they all have a story. They have to have a story. Nobody starts out that way, you know? Nobody starts out or wants that kind of life, you know, something dramatic or, you know, whatever has happened to them and they lose things. And I think people have a really narrow perspective on that, that they're all druggies and they just, you know, they deserve that kind of life and that kind of thing. And I just don't buy that at all. I just think there are things that happen to people they have absolutely no control over. And they end up on the street for one reason or another. And that's just, you know, we just don't know. You can't judge anybody by, you know, because they're there. And we know now, too, how the powers that be, the people who make these synthetic drugs and stuff, and they get people addicted and they, you know, they want people sick. They want people, they're trying to, you know, to eliminate. They choose who lives and who doesn't live, and that's just one of the ways that they get people sick and dead, you know. And they don't have any respect. Anyhow, It's like we just cannot judge anybody why they're there, and because they didn't start out that way. Praise the Lord.
I was reading something the other day about fentanyl. I said China has started making fentanyl now that is even more potent than it was before. I don't know how much more potent, but then I had today, my daughter Michelle told me that one of her Blake's friends' son died from an overdose. Had three kids. That's what's going on, you know. I don't know why these kids can't understand it. Fentanyl, you take that fentanyl, you're gone. A lot of times. I heard somebody in Trump's administration the other day say over 100,000 kids a year die from that fentanyl. That's a lot of kids. I don't know if that's probably, I don't know if it's worldwide or what, but I'm telling you, that's a lot of kids. My gracious Lord, we just ask and we pray that you bring that stuff down, that you take it away from them and shut down their labs that are making that stuff. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, I ask and I pray that you give Trump the wherewithal to stop the incoming flow of that stuff. It's coming in mostly now from the northern border, not the southern border, but the northern border now. And Father, we thank you for shutting that down too. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for shutting down the fentanyl and helping us to save our kids. And Lord, we're going to press in to you until it's all completely stopped. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, Andrew, did you have something you wanted to say? Or Pat? I thought it would. Okay, go ahead, Pat. Andrew, whatever. Someone, somebody.
It was just the homeless when Julie was speaking. You know, there is a home they can have that's even better than any home around here. Jesus has a place he's preparing for us. You know, so as it says in John 14, there just reminded me of that verse. I go to prepare a place for you, and maybe start with some of that at the. Some of these homeless people who may have had some sort of Christian past too, you know. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God.
Well, I used to minister to all of them and to the T. Every one of them had some kind of dramatic thing that happened to them at some point in time that they had to, whether it was they lost their whatever, their wife or their kids or whatever, and they just couldn't cope with it. Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I got to thinking about that, a while back when they, the government tries to, they have one solution for homelessness, and that is, create apartments or, try to finance some sort of thing to give them a home and everything. Which, in one sense is a good idea to a certain degree, but the problem is not homelessness, it's hopelessness. And these people are shattered and they don't see any hope in the current environment that they're living in, and they have given up on life, that sort of thing. And I say this on an observation level, but it was, but the simply providing a place to live is one level, but the level that is necessary to cure is at the hope level. One of the things that I was thinking about this prophecy, or the vision that this Miss Green received, is that there's going to be great turmoil and destruction in this transition over from, the economic system over to the new one. And part of the reason, obviously, that that has to happen is because the bribery, that system is currently financing the bribery and manipulation of those in our government that are on the take. And there's no way you can go through and, prove certain things or this and that. Obviously, the best way is to cut the finances completely out, cut the head of off the snake, and I believe that is, because this current administration is trying to do so many things, but there is a spirit that is opposing every move, and it's at every level, in the courts and the judges and in the government and Congress. It's at every level of our governing structure, I guess you might say.
Well, that ought to be
And
an indication that he's doing something right.
most definitely. But
Yeah.
I guess what I'm thinking is that the magnitude of this beast is such that you're not going to pick it off one at a time. The only thing you're going to do is uncover the next battle. It has to be it, you have to starve that army out, and bring them to their knees. So anyway, praise the Lord. We are living in some very, very amazing times, Praise the Lord.
One thing, and I'll just briefly mention it. God's working on it too. So, what'd you say? Yeah, Joe, I saw your hand up a while ago. What you need, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing much better. Thank you, Michael.
Okay, God bless you, brother.
Just have a prayer request. I was yesterday on a walk, when I met a professional rugby player. He was coming from a doctor, give me opportunity to speak to him. He only believes in God, not really in Jesus. So I did send him last night. Text on how to be born, what's the real meaning of born again? And I just want to agree with, well, ask you to agree with me with that'll be an eye opener for him and understand that he only need Jesus. You don't need all the sports and things there is in the world. You only need Jesus. That's a starting point in life. Father,
Amen.
thank you for Father, thank you for the time. Thank you for great opportunity you gave me, Lord, to talk to him, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the text I sent him, Lord. Let it be an eye-opener for him, Lord. Let it be work in his life, Lord, and understand that's first priority in life, Lord, is you in our lives, you in everybody's life, Lord. All the things come second and third, Lord. Thank you for opening that up, opening that opportunity, Lord, and speak to him more. Let that be a first thing for him, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that that text that he sent him, that you would anoint him with a great anointing to draw him into the kingdom. And we praise you for it,
Thank you.
Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to
Thank
God.
you, Michael.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, touch his heart, Lord. Touch his heart. Amen. I was going to say something, and I forgot what I was going to say. No, I didn't. In Jesus' name, I confess the good confession that I have a memory, the mind of Christ, glory to God. Amen. I ain't forgot nothing. I just put it up for a little while. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Amen. Because I'm alive with Christ. Anybody else alive with Christ? Glory to God. I'm free from the law of sin and death, too. Praise God. And I'm far from
Amen.
oppression and will not live in fear because the Word of God says it. And I'm born of God, and the evil one ain't got a chance around me. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Praise be to God. Whoo! Somebody ought to get excited here. I feel the Holy Ghost all over this room. Thank you, Jesus. My, 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 my. I tell you what, I love that song that Michael Fearon was singing earlier. And he the one that sang that song that we sing also. I was trying to think of the name of it a while ago, but I can't remember it now. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't think of it. I can think of it. Go ahead, Missy.
Dry bones.
I was going to see if you knew that. Yeah, that's it.
They also that group that I think it was him, they also did miracles that we sing.
Oh, could have. He could have. I don't
He
know.
does that
I don't know
song too.
that song. Yeah.
Yeah, you
Oh,
do.
me.
In the
I'd probably know it if
live
I heard
stream.
it. Yeah. Well, it looks like we're out of time. Lord, we just thank you for blessing everybody here to keep on praying and bringing this deep state down. And we praise you, Father. And Lord, we thank you for giving David the wisdom and the discernment to help out when he can. And I thank you for it, Father, because I know you're directing traffic. And we praise you and we glorify you, Father, for all that you're doing in this ministry. And I'm talking about right here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for all that you do in us. Lord, be with everybody here tonight. Give them a good night's sleep or a good day's today with you, Lord. And I praise you and I glorify you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I just finished before I, let me, y'all be blessed to him. Let's do this. Y'all be blessed to him. We'll see y'all next week, Lord willing.